Good morning and welcome to Calvary. It's a joy to see you here. If you're visiting, you are our special guest, and we appreciate. In all the places you could choose to worship, you chose us. So you're our guest. Thank you. On the bulletin, there's a little card, a connect card. If you'll fill that out, put it in the offering plate. I just want to make a connection with you. Later on, ladies, I have one thing to say to y'all that's really, really important. Are you listening? The women's Bible study is Wednesday. If you don't know... If you don't know anything about this, y'all have to come. Can I preach with this on? Oh my gosh. Make sure you're here Wednesday night. Don't. What? We're bringing food? Can I come and wear this? Make sure you're here for that. You'll laugh, I promise. Be a part of that. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for allowing us into your presence. We thank you for this country where we are free to worship. And Father, we thank you for the joy of laughter. And you created it, and I pray that we experience it a lot because it reminds us of the joy of loving you. Let us worship you now. In your name we pray. Amen.
Children.
Father, it is our desire to trust you more than we ever have and to obey you. Father, as we praise you, let it be a fragrance that is pleasing to you. And as we study your word, open our eyes and our hearts and reveal yourself to us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. As we continue our journey in Established, this morning we're going to look at hearing from God. And I want to share a verse of scripture with you from John 10:27. It said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In order to follow the shepherd, we have to know his voice. And that's what we're going to be focusing on today. And as we prepare to do that, let's worship a God whose name truly is wonderful.
His name is wonderful.
Father, we want to experience all that you have for us. And as we open your word today, I pray that you teach us even more how to listen to your voice, how to recognize what you want us to hear. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Remember this guy? If you weren't here last week, he doesn't look as good as he does last week, does he? He's been inside all week. Had I left him outside, he'd look a lot worse. But for the gardeners in the crowd, what needs to happen to this? It needs to get in the ground, right? Really, it needs to get in the ground or a bigger pot. And as we continue with this series on being established, of getting ourselves rooted even deeper in Christ, we have to understand that it's up to us, that your pot size is determined by you. How much God you have is determined by you, because God is limitless. You can have all of Him you want. The only thing that keeps us from that is us. And the thing that we have to be careful about is, I'm going to try to get this out without falling apart. I managed to do it last week. But if you don't increase your pot size, if you don't increase your knowledge of God, if you don't increase your interaction with God, and your pot stays the same, what's going to happen at some point? You ever taken a plant out of one of these and you've seen the roots and they're just growing in a circle because they've become root bound? Because they're starving for something more and they can't get to it. Your soul is starving for God. And if we don't feed our souls, you'll become root bound and you'll become stagnant in your life with Christ. And while you'll be okay, conditions will come that you aren't prepared for because you aren't established enough. Like we said last week, this plant will be all right if I keep watering it until it gets really hot. And then it can't take up enough moisture and enough nourishment in this pot to keep it alive. There's going to be things come up in your life that you don't have enough God because your pot's not big enough. And if we continue today, turn with me to John chapter 10, because no matter where you are in your walk with Christ, we want to grow. And what we're going to look at today is hearing from God. Hearing from God. It can be somewhat tricky and frustrating if you're not careful. John chapter 10. I'm going to start reading at verse 10. It says, The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. So we have to be aware, Satan does not want you thriving. He wants you starving. And God's desire, Jesus' words to you is, He wants you to have a rich and satisfying life. Now the problem for us in the society that we live, when we hear rich, what do you think? Immediately. Money. And you think, I'm not rich. And I reminded us several weeks ago, if you're sitting in this room, you're among the top five wealthiest people in the world, period. No matter how much money you have, if you're here, you're some of the wealthiest in the world. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about you can be rich and not have a dime. You can be rich and not have anything, and your life can be satisfying without any monetary things in your hand. It doesn't matter. In fact, if the further you walk in Christ and the bigger your pot gets, the less these things of world mean to you. And you'll start trying to get rid of them because you don't see them as something that makes you rich. You'll see them as something that weighs you down. So Jesus is saying His purpose, His desire for you and I is a rich and satisfying life. And look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so a wolf will attack them and scatter the flock. Verse 13, the hired hand runs away because he works only for the money and he doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know my Father, so I sacrifice my life for my sheep. And I have other sheep too that are not in the sheepfold. I will bring them in also. And listen to this. They will listen to my voice, and they will be one flock with one shepherd. Listening to His voice is something that you have to grow into. Listening to, let me illustrate this for you. Anybody know what this is? Some of the older folks in the back know what this is. It's a transistor radio. Now, I didn't put batteries in this. I'm not going to turn it on because if I do, it'd probably mess up my mic. Bob Haver would go bananas. But anybody still got one of these? Okay, if you don't know what this is, maybe you remember having one. Do you remember how hard it is to get dialed in on just what you want to listen to? And then sometimes you find yourself, and oh, I got it. And you're listening and you finally get what you want. And then all of a sudden, and you're listening to Radio Havana all of a sudden. For some of us, listening to God is like trying to tune a transistor radio. You're listening and you got it, and you're listening to Him, and then you move. And it's not even moving that far. I just moved an inch. We're gone. I can't hear anymore. That's not what God wants for you. If you're listening to God is like you trying to tune a transistor radio, I want to encourage you to grow your pot so that you know His voice, because His desire is for you to have a rich and satisfying life. And to have that, you need to know what He wants. So this morning, I want to share with you five ways that God speaks to us. Five ways that He speaks to us. And I want to share with you a really important verse in terms of listening to God. And if you've ever found yourself trying to make a decision or your desire is to follow God's will and you're struggling to understand what that is, what He wants me to do, first of all, baseline, remember this. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion." God's not the author of confusion. So, if you're confused, you're not hearing from God. Because here's the important thing about God's will. God has no desire for you to play Where's Waldo with His will. Anybody remember Where's Waldo? Those books with You're trying to find it. God is not trying to hide His will from you. He's not. And so if you're confused, you need to tell Satan, that's not God. God is not the author of confusion. God's desire is for you to know His will and to follow it. Then why is it so hard sometimes? You ever ask yourself that? I want to know, and I just don't know what to do. I want to share with you five things. The first one, and this is the main one. God speaks through His Scripture. God speaks through His Scripture. So it's imperative on us to know His Scripture. And if you want your pot to get bigger and your tuner on your radio to get more fine-tuned, know His Scripture. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever been reading this, searching it for an answer? Searching it for what God wants, and you feel like you're reading this. For if you can't see in the back, this is the hardest seek and find ever made. Find a needle in a haystack. You ever felt like that trying to search God's Word? Look at this book. It is a book of hay. And the most fabulous thing about this book is it's 108 pages. And in this book is one needle. The hardest seek and find book ever made. This is not God's Word. And reading this is not the same as reading this. Okay? But here's the thing. You ever hear the story about the guy, and I bet you at some point you've done this in your life. I want to know what God wants me to do about this specific issue. I bet you've done it. You might not admit it. You hear the story about the guy who did that, and he landed on, and Judas hanged himself. He goes, okay. He turns and does it again, and he landed on the Scripture. Go and do likewise. He goes, what? Done it again. He goes, and do it with haste. That's not what God wants for you. Okay? Your homework from last week, remember, was the names of God. And part of being able to understand God's will is knowing God. And so the more I know about God, the more I read His Word, the easier it is for me to know what He wants. But here's our challenge and our struggle. And I am with you in this boat because I've done it. You are struggling. You're trying to figure out if I should take this job, if I should buy this house, if I should marry this person, if I should shoot this person. And you come to this Scripture and you're reading and you're looking for God's Word and you can't find an answer. And the reason is you are reading this book with you in mind. And you come here and you say, God, show me what you want me to do so I... Stop with the me's and the I's. Read this book to know who God is. And when you come to His Scripture and want to know more about Him, you'll start finding what His will is. Because God is not the author of confusion. And that book is not like looking for a needle in a haystack. He wants you to clearly know what His will is for you. Why else would He have a will and hide it from you? What sense would that make? He wants you to know His will so you can follow it, not try, seek, and find. So number one is read His Word. Everything else, these other four, all go back to that one. He'll speak to you through Scripture. The second one is God will speak to you through authorities in His Word. For instance, you've sat in here and listened to me and other people preach, and we may be preaching about something, and God starts speaking to you about something entirely different, and it's as clear as day. We need to sit under His authority. Listen to Proverbs 19:20. Get all the advice and instruction you can so that you will be wise the rest of your life. God wants us to seek instruction. That's why we're sitting here. That's why we have a Sunday school class that some of y'all ought to start coming to, because you're not. So you can get more of His Word from people who studied it, because we can share our wisdom. Get all the advice and instruction you can. God will speak to you through people like me. Oh my gosh, if He can speak through me, He can speak through anybody. But I guarantee you, through all the silly things I do, sometimes a light bulb goes off and I go, ah, I understand. I understand what God's trying to say. That's number two. Number three, that God will speak to you through godly people. The key is godly. Some of y'all go seek advice from Dear Abby, from watching that The View, that's it. Seek advice from godly people. Put godly people around you. Because I've had this experience, and I bet you have too. You had this monstrous problem that you want God's wisdom and direction on. And it's huge. And then you tell it to somebody, and you hear yourself, and you go, well, that ain't so big. Why did I make such a big deal out of that? Because when you start explaining it, and then you start hearing somebody reflect it back to you, your mind will clear. But on both of these, from sitting and listening to people teach and seeking the counsel of other people, if it ever contradicts this, it's wrong. Straight away. Both of those, like the other two, go back to this. They go to this. Number four. The fourth way, and this is the one we focus on the most, I think, and we think that if we don't get this one, we're not spiritual enough. The fourth one is, God will speak to you through a still small voice. And we think, why can't I hear that voice all the time? Well, a lot of times you got too much static going on. You got too many other voices going on in your head. But the other thing, and this is the most important, is if you don't know God, you can't hear God. Listen to that for a minute. If you don't know God, and I'm not talking about spiritually in the sense of accepting Him as your Savior. Let's say for the sake of argument, we've all done that. But then you have to grow in your knowledge of God so that you understand what God is saying. Because if you don't know God, you can't hear God. Let me illustrate that for you. Peanut butter. Okay? Let's say Bob Hafer comes to me this morning and he says, somebody ate all the church's peanut butter, and I'm pretty sure it was your son. I would tell him flat out, that is unbelievably impossible, and it's wrong. Not because he's my son, but because there is nobody in this room right now that hates peanut butter more than him. Absolutely hates it. When he was about, 2 years old, Missy and I went to a bank to open an account. And this is when they, let's tell you how old it is, 18 years ago, I guess. This is when they gave you something, you know, when you open an account. And the guy opened his desk drawer, took out a white box, set it on the desk, and slid it over to Grant and said, "Here, I have something for you." And Grant said, "No, thank you." The box was completely white. There was nothing on it. All he said is, "I have something for you." And Grant said, "No, thank you." It was a box of chocolate-covered peanut butter balls. And all he had to do is smell it. And he said, "I don't want it." If you know God, that voice becomes really clear. But if you don't, that still small voice is like trying to tune in and all you get is static and you can't hear it. Because the more you know about this, the more godly counsel you seek, the more it's easy to recognize that peanut butter ain't what he wants you to do. The last thing, is God will speak to you through your circumstances. God will speak to you through your circumstances. That was illustrated in that video. Anybody know the story on that video? It's an incredible song about following God's will. And sometimes you find yourself in a place that you say, "This cannot be your will, God. It cannot be." The lady in that video who sang it wrote that song about an experience in her life where she knew for certain that God told her, "You're going to be a mother." And then she had a miscarriage. And she wrote that song about how can I be at this place when you said this was going to be. God will speak to you through your circumstances. And I can tell you this. What we always look for is for everything to be great. And most of the time, when God starts speaking to you through your circumstances, it's not great. It's hard. It's hard. But if you know this, then in the midst of those circumstances, you can recognize that still small voice and see how these circumstances may not be what I want, but I know God's in it. And more importantly, you know what God's not in. For instance, a number of years ago, I had a guy who came to me for advice, and he said, "I've been having an affair, and I feel like God is telling me to divorce my wife and marry this other woman." And you know what I said to him? "That's not God." He goes, "Yeah, I believe it is. I've been praying about it." I said, "I don't care what you've been doing. That doesn't line up with this. And no matter what you think or how you try to rationalize your circumstances, if it doesn't line up with this, it's not God." So if I want to hear God clearly and not all the static, I have to grow my pot so that I can hear more of God. And that starts with what we did last week in terms of knowing more about God. The more I know about God, the more things like this I can recognize. Here's the last thing I want to close with, and this may be the most important thing I say to you. And this is in terms of hearing God and not being confused and not looking for a needle in a haystack. Do the general things that you know God wants you to do, and the specific things will come very clear. Do the general things that you know God wants, and the specific things will become very clear in terms of God wants us to gather together like this. But if you get up on Sunday and you go, I don't know. It's cold outside. I think I'll just stay here today. It'll be okay. Oh, yeah, God, I need to know what you want me to do today. And all you hear is static. Do the general things. Spend time in His Word. Go to church. Pray. When you do that, His voice will become clearer and clearer. Do the general things. The specific things you're after, they'll become clear. Pray with me. Father, we thank You that You speak to us. And Your desire for us is to hear Your voice. I pray that we tune out the static and the noise of this world and give us ears to hear You. Father, it's in Your name we pray. Amen.